Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are sort of experts on the subject because we wrote a book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Professional Wrestling. And we've also written for places like The Washington Post and Vice and Slate and U.S. News and World Reports, a bunch of that stuff. You could read all of that at presidentwrestler.com. You could also buy the book or audiobook if you're one of those people that don't like to use your eyes to read. I don't blame you one bit whatsoever. You are listening to this, and I thank you. This episode of The Great American Bash was recorded the day after the 2016 Democratic National Convention. I actually covered that convention for the Patty Vasquez Show on WGN Radio, so you might have heard me then. And now, at the tail end of 2017, it's interesting to listen back and see how the things we thought were going to happen did not happen. So, without further ado, here is Episode 5 of The Great American Bash.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We are both in Washington, D.C. It is the morning after the Democratic National Convention wrapped. I took a train last night, and I'm back in our nation's capital after leaving our first nation's capital and the home of the Broad Street Brawlers. Is that it? Broad Street?
Broad Street?
It was off of Broad Street, yeah. I stayed off of Broad Street. The convention was off of Broad Street a few miles away. And I just want to say thank you, Kerry. He let me stay at his place. It was his 30th birthday on Wednesday night.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, here, I'm going to barely be here, but can I sleep on your couch? Okay, thanks, bye. Every Airbnb and hotel was clearly booked up and incredibly expensive. So thank you to Kerry. It takes a village. I guess that counts. That's a good tie.
That's good. Yeah, bringing it back. So what did you think of the last couple of days of the DNC since we last talked?
Okay, so we last talked early on Wednesday, and since then the party got united.
Right.
Which is really boring from our point of view.
Yes.
It's really great for the party. It's really great for the country. For what we're doing, not a good thing.
Yeah. Speeches where people are making good points, making emotional speeches. Really nothing there to report.
I guess the only comparison would be when WWF finally bought WCW, and now it's like, oh, who we're going to fight against? I guess. No, like, that's what this is. They have both wrestling factions now.
They've got the
Bernie, WCW and Nitro finally is part of Raw.
I'm glad you could find a connection. I was struggling.
It's really loose. I mean, it's once Bernie, I think, conceded incredibly gratefully. And I think that what he wanted to accomplish, he got 80% of what he wanted in the party platform. Presidents don't get 80% of what they want. Bernie will be the most successful man if Clinton wins in this entire presidency. Not Clinton, not Trump, Bernie.
And that was the original goal. Like, people forget. I mean, sure, it, you know, he was doing pretty well in some of the caucuses and primaries, but as a left-wing socialist, you know,
independent
candidate, the whole goal is just to keep the front runner honest and to keep, you know, a centrist from becoming too centrist.
And he did it. And yeah. Anyone that watched last night's acceptance speech by Clinton, I hope that they noticed how left-leaning it was. It was pretty great if you are on the left.
Yeah.
And it was pretty terrifying if you're a centrist.
Right, or definitely if you're on the right.
Well, if you're on the right, you're not probably watching that speech too. Yeah. Like, and I get that. That's just how it goes on both sides.
Right, and it, you know, you see also in the last couple of days, as the party was unified and Bernie was doing everything he could, he had texted supporters and delegates not to boo, not to, you know, continue the protest, kind of like put down their arms. But, you know, you saw the fringe people still doing that, wearing neon shirts, trying to chant and to break up the proceedings, trying to do a fart in.
So I actually walked by the fart in not realizing it was happening.
Well, then it was really effective.
Okay, so the way it was outside it was past one of the perimeters, but not in the arena perimeter, okay?
Right.
So you're still a whole parking lot, maybe two parking lots away.
You're in the scratchy lot, yeah.
Exactly. So you really reference The Simpsons a lot on this show, by the way. I'm totally fine with that. Bret Hart was on it, so it's cool.
Yeah. He has to get rid of the old man smell in McMahon's house, yeah.
There was
A handful of them, and they were just, they had big, giant, like, catering trays full of beans, and right. people were eating beans. That was it. It felt like over 100 degrees. Most everyone there, definitely most of the media, had sweat through either their t-shirts and shorts or their suits.
Right.
I myself had sweat through my entire suit and just kept getting dry and then sweating again. So everyone smelled really bad. If
it was even effective.
I'm sure people farted. Good for them. Everyone smelled like farts by the end of that night. It didn't matter. Yeah. I actually think it was a really fun, nonviolent way of protesting. I just wish that they did it on like a 60-degree day.
A nice, pleasant day. Yeah, a nice spring day.
Not 100-degree weather where no matter what, the entire city smells like trash and farts.
I just wish. I mean, you're in South Philly. I think the whole, you know, you should buy local. Just eat some cheesesteaks. Like, come on. If you're not farting and eating in South Philly, you're doing it wrong.
Have you been to those cheesesteak establishments?
No, because they're Trump-esque.
They are very Trump-esque. That's the reason why I'm asking. We did a You Meet Them, Everybody There a few years ago, and we wanted to just check it out.
At Vinny's or Gino's or something?
It was like 2 blocks away, and we're like, hey, we're driving back tonight. We're going to go to one of them. And they both have a lot of, like, anti-Muslim, pro let's murder people, let's remember every cop that died in 9/11, and that's it.
Right.
So pretty on party platform.
There you go. Yeah, but as the Bernie, the Feel the Burn movement burnt out, to kind of keep that metaphor going, it really reminded me of kind of the dead end smarks who chant, you know, or have signs for "If Cena wins, we riot," and then don't, and Cena remains the face that runs the place. Yeah. You know, it's really just like, at the end of the day, there's going, you know, your guy is not going to win or your woman's not going to win, and that's just the way it is. And there's going to be a loser in a contest. There has to be some graciousness in that.
Well, it doesn't help that. It doesn't help get that point through if your candidate said this was never about winning, which he did say.
Yes.
So that makes it a little more difficult.
He has said that none of this was about winning elections.
And that goes back to what we just said a few minutes ago. If it wasn't, he still won.
Right.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to think, like, is Bernie more CM Punk or is he more Bret Hart?
What's the CM Punk one as far as changing the conversation?
Yeah, he's the pipe bomb. He's changing the conversation, but it's still, at the end of the day, it's still Cena's company. Cena's still going to be on Total Divas. Cena's still going to host multiple TV shows.
Equal parts Bret Hart and CM Punk, which good in the ring and not beloved.
I'm still going to go with Bret Hart, by the way.
I think it's still the self-mark Bret Hart. Yeah, no, and as we said, the rest of the convention that closed, some more great speeches, President Obama, Vice President Biden, they all did what they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden meditated on the meaning of "you're fired."
Just listen to me a second without booing or cheering. I mean this sincerely. We should really think about this. His cynicism is unbounded. His lack of empathy and compassion can be summed up in a phrase I suspect he's most proud of having made famous: "You're fired." I mean, really, I'm not joking. Think about that. Think about that. Think about everything you learned as a child, no matter where you were raised. How can there be pleasure in saying you're fired? He's trying to tell us he cares about the middle class. Give me a break. That's a bunch of malarkey.
It's been a punchline for us because it's hysterical that he has the same catchphrase as Vince McMahon.
About the only thing I can say to you here tonight is, Donald Trump, you're fired!
You know, this isn't about being a man or being anything. It's about making the right business decision.
Then I made the wrong decision.
You did make the wrong decision. All right, Goldberg, you're fired.
But, you know, Biden doing what Biden does, giving it gravitas and, like, telling everyone, no, don't boo, just shut up and listen. Like, here's what he's actually saying. He also, as a master public speaker, especially with a friendly crowd, you know, he was turning things into catchphrases. You know, he said that Trump has not a clue, and that immediately became a chant.
unplanned. Yeah, he's really good at that stuff on accident.
Right.
I don't think that was planned. I do think there were multiple moments in Hillary's speech where she used a lot of one-syllable words where she would have used three-syllable words in real life.
Right.
And not end sentences and prepositions. But I think she was catering to the audience where I think Biden was just speaking. I wouldn't be surprising if there was a lot of that non-clue stuff was not part of the transcript.
Do you think malarkey was in the prepared remarks?
I think it was. And that was definitely the word of the day on Wednesday night, which is much better than the phrase of the day on Tuesday night, which was changemaker. That's a bad phrase. But malarkey is a great one.
Malarkey's great.
Yes, it is one word, but you can easily chant it.
And they were instructing Democrats and Hillary supporters to counter chant last night.
To be fair to the Hillary, to people that think like, oh, the system is rigged, Bernie also tweeted out to his supporters, hey, please give this person respect and don't chant and stuff like that. So it's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fair. I think it's interesting that I guess it's good that both sides were able to chant whatever the hell they wanted at any time. And this is a nation built on chanting. And that's not really a joke. Look at any previous convention coverage. Look at any political rally. This is a country that yells back. That's okay. I mean, most countries do. Most countries that have a democracy yell back at the candidate. Awesome.
Also an interesting move, having Mike Bloomberg there as an independent, former Republican.
Now, we've heard a lot of talk in this campaign about needing a leader who understands business. I couldn't agree more. I built a business, and I didn't start it with a $1 million check from my father. Through his career, Donald Trump has left behind a well-documented record of bankruptcies and thousands of lawsuits and angry stockholders and contractors who feel cheated. Trump says he wants to run the nation like he's running his business? God help us. I'm a New Yorker, and I know a con when I see one.
Kind of take on Trump with the same gimmick of like, I actually am the $1 billion man.
Yeah.
And it didn't start with a $1 million check from my dad.
Is that Ric Flair going over to WWE to become general manager later in life and being like, I did all those things for WCW. We're cool.
Yeah. Don't worry about all that.
I like being on the winning
team.
I'm
on this side now. Yeah.
I'm the Ric Flair of the Democratic Party. Woo. Well, that's obviously bullshit. We all know Bill Clinton is Ric Flair.
Yeah, just, I mean, has there been anyone more inspired by Ric Flair?
And vice versa.
I don't, I mean,
you know,
to be
Clinton
the man,
has inspired Flair at one point.
Well, limousine riding, you know.
Well, that was Flair inspiring Clinton, but I know it's gone both ways.
Maybe now, yeah, at this point. Bill Clinton, who looked like he was having a blast, every time they cut to him, he just looked so happy.
So I thought on Thursday night, I was like, oh, man, Bill's aged a lot in the last 2 days, because on Tuesday he looked vital and awesome and on point. And when I was watching Chelsea's speech, I was like, he's got, like, dementia. What is he doing? And then a few minutes in, it's like, oh, he's reading along. He knows the speech. Right. He's following along like a dad at a dance recital, trying to, like, do all the moves and stuff. It was great.
Because he's been there at practice.
Yeah.
He's been, you know, getting her in the minivan.
It's so weird. It was really great. Like, that's the Charlotte Rick comparison right there.
That's definitely it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Yeah, it's great. So our other, as we're getting to 2016, we can't
really quick,
ahead.
Really quick. Chelsea's kid is named Charlotte.
Yes. And Aiden.
But Charlotte.
But that's, I know you're going for the wrestling connection. It's clearly a sex, her children named after Sex and the City characters. And you know what Phil Clinton likes to do in a city. All right. I'm just saying.
Also, who did Charlotte just lose the belt to?
Sasha
and Malia.
All right, now I wasn't on board. I'm on board now.
So, all right.
You know, as we're looking towards other election cycles, how this could this could affect things, we back at The Rock. Always.
Yeah.
I mean, there was signs caught on camera that had, like, I think some Bernie bro protesters had, you know, a checklist, and it was Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, and then a check mark next to Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I did not see that.
That got captured on CNN, and then
was
The Rock.
Was it just last night?
It was a couple nights ago, and The Rock had Instagrammed it, and then this is basically just because of how the content era works, that then became a piece in Time, which was basically that, you know, people want The Rock to run for president, and he's not denying it, which then, in turn, he Instagrammed And I'll just read this here. Thanks, Time. I'm grateful how this idea has become very real to a lot of people. Years from now, if I feel I can step up and become a strong, impactful, and authentic leader for the people in our country, I will. Until then, let's get back to work. Bicep 100 emoji.
Oh, yeah, The Rock's running. If there's a window, The Rock is running. And he'll win.
Yeah, I think, I mean, in 8 years, I don't see why not. We'll see where the parties are at that point. I know you think he'd run Republican, but I'd be really curious.
Oh, Rock's Republican.
I'd be curious to see.
We should get to that when we close this show, because I do feel like we're in a third party system right now. There are three major parties. So okay, we'll get back to that.
Right. So as The Rock possibly eyes a candidacy in the future, his maybe party was throwing a counter convention in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
At the 2300 arena, at the ECW arena. And you were there.
I went to that. That's what I went to on Thursday, the last day of the convention, because I got so bored with Unity. Holy shit. Rudy Giuliani has lost his mind.
To be fair, it's been a long time. I mean, that's been for quite a while.
He sounded scarier than he did last week when he spoke at the RNC.
He's just falling off the cliff at this point, yeah.
He, oh boy. Okay, so both sides have these events. It's very normal. Both sides usually put them in, like, office buildings,
right,
or where they have, like, a conference center. Like maybe a hotel in a ballroom. Very that's like a normal thing to do. That's what the DNC did. Put it in an office building. The RNC is like, oh, we got to go to an industrial part of town near nothing, where even the cab drivers think that they're lost, and do it in the former ECW arena that is still a functioning boxing, wrestling, and all-purpose general hall. There was literally a boxing ring there set up and used for photo ops. It was lit like a boxing match was going to happen, which means the stages are bright and beautiful, and there are no windows, and it's beautiful outside. The optics for this are horrible. The DNC, the entire point of it was like, hey, unity, hope, change. The entire RNC, most of the RNC was, if you don't believe in me, we're all going to die tomorrow. Everyone that you hate is going to put a gun to your head, and we've already taken away your gun. So good luck on that. This reiterated that times five. There were five crazy people, but with no sense of reality. It seemed impossible. I got to pull up some quotes from this because it was just so scary, but actually not scary at all, because you're like, oh, this is never going to happen. Kind of like ECW ever becoming like the main wrestling faction.
It's just fine being there. It's like, it's just a kind of a curiosity. You can see a little, you know, a little blood, sweat, and tears. But at the end of the day, you can go back and watch the PG WWE.
I don't know if you saw this, but like they have Hall of Famers. They have like Hall of Fame banners. So there's like a Hall of Fame banner for Eddie Guerrero. There's a Hall of Fame banner for Tommy Dreamer and the Blue Meanie. It's like you're having an event in a hall that honored the Blue Meanie.
Yeah.
Out of any wrestler, that's the one you want to associate with?
Blue World Order, baby.
Like I don't
say hello to the blue guy.
So I was talking to one of the event organizers, and like they didn't see any problems with it. They were like really happy with it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk to you about the event. Feel free to ask crazy questions because I got crazy answers. And then I'm going to tell you how it ended. And it could not have been better slash worse. If you're part of this party, if you are a Republican, good luck. After attending this event, good luck.
Yeah, I was actually surprised. Not surprised, but I wasn't seeing much coverage.
You think?
Well, just because you had to go there. But I think there should be coverage because it's such a crazy idea to do it there that I would think that like, hey, they're actually throwing it at a wrestling.
I had to inform multiple journalists at the event that this is where ECW, did the majority of their pay-per-view. They had over 100 events there over the course of like 8 or 9 years.
Right.
And most people didn't know what ECW was. And then I explained, hey, remember The Wrestler, the feel-good movie by Darren Aronofsky starring Happy Man, Mickey Rourke? And they said, oh, yeah, I love The Wrestler. That's a great movie. I'm like, yeah. Some of the sad scenes, they were filmed here. They're like, oh, that's the thing that connected to them.
That's a good example. I wouldn't have known what to use. But if you look at it, I mean, ECW Extreme Championship, as it was, ran from 94 to 2001. So, I mean, and then, you know, they kind of revived it for WWE in the late 2000s, but you would have to be a wrestling fan to know that. I feel like the late 90s would have been the time people, and we're talking 20 years ago.
This has been, this arena was showcased in Beyond the Mat.
Right.
So that's the like the second biggest thing it's known for. So the wrestler, ooh, that's real sad. And then The Rock giving Mick Foley 17 straight chair shots to the head. This was more violent than that. This is the arena that held the crazy people with Paul Heyman. Paulie Dangerously at the time, I apologize. Okay, so...
Apologize to Paul Heyman.
So I walk in and the press conference is already going on. And I didn't really miss much because the Q&A covered the rest. I missed Giuliani give his initial talk, but the Q&A where he just kind of went off mic, and definitely off script, was definitely more interesting than the prepared remarks that I did end up reading. When I got there, Attorney General of Utah, Sean Reyes, was speaking, and his main thing was, they're going to take away your guns. Classic rebuttal for what? I don't know, but okay. So that's like, all right, whatever, I don't care. And then there's a Secret Service agent, a former Secret Service agent that spoke, that had a book about how that worked for the Clintons, that had a book about how the Clintons are bad, and then proceeded to blame the liberal media that his book didn't sell better. In his mind, the liberal media. Why would you do that? How is this helping your party or candidate? Even if you want to sell books, I wouldn't do that. But what are you doing? Do that at the RNC, maybe. Maybe that would give it some legs.
Maybe don't do it at the media event.
It's okay. And then here's my favorite. Former spokesman for United States Ambassadors to the United Nations, Richard Grenell, he spoke about the threat of Russia. And his whole thing was Clinton's not qualified because the DNC got hacked. He didn't mention Putin or Donald Trump once.
Or Donald Trump asking them to hack?
Yes, I know.
I'm surprised that didn't come up.
I don't know if you noticed this. A bunch of Republicans last night said, hey, we need to look into this. Did you see that?
No.
This happened right after primetime began, but before Hillary Clinton spoke last night. A bunch of Republicans said, oh, this is not cool.
Right. There's already... with the briefings, now that they're both the candidates, they start getting intelligence
this
community
week,
briefings.
Yeah.
And there's already one senior official unnamed who said he's not going to do it with Trump.
What?
How could you?
What the fuck? Do you see that? Yeah. How that's a bad idea?
Yeah. It's just but it's not. That might affect
even
some Republicans.
Every reporter that was there that I saw. We all kind of looked at each other. That was like, are we going to ask about Trump, or is this like such a given that like we're like he's going to talk about Trump? No.
Did anybody ask? Was there a follow-up?
No, there was a follow-up about other stuff, but not that specifically because it was just so insane. It's like, oh, I'm just going to dismiss you. That's crazy. And then Giuliani said, oh, no, sorry, I apologize. Grenell ended his speech about the military. With rather than it's time to bring back our boys, with it's time to bring back our balls to the country of America, which was just like once that guy said that, it's like, oh, you have no credibility. No, I'm not listening to you. What's the follow up question there? That's crazy. Then there were multiple questions just to everyone, and you got your boilerplate like Hillary's going to be dangerous, or Hillary's going to take away your guns, or Hillary's bad for business. But there's no facts to back any of this up, which is fine. I don't care. I'm at your counter event. You have every right to do whatever you want. But Giuliani did have a lot of interesting things to say, and it was weird because like when he was asked about the response of 9/11, he said nice things about both Senator Schumer and Senator Clinton. And he seemed to have a moment of clarity. And then he would sort of go off script and like go into like crazy old man with dementia stuff. So it was weird to see this and see this man like who was very, very powerful and was like America's mayor to a lot of people. And at one point, a presidential front runner being in a dark wrestling arena saying things like Obama is the fantasizer in chief.
Which is bizarre. But to be fair, you know, with him and Trump,
he just screamed, "The world is at war." And the difference is, if you scream, "The world is at war," to 15,000 people in an arena that are on your side, it's a pretty good line. If you're screaming it to 30 journalists and like 15 staffers that don't give a fuck, it's like you're a crazy old dude. You genuinely believe crazy things.
I think it's a little scarier in the larger arena, but I get why it's a little more. It's definitely more unhinged in the ECW arena.
It's sadder in the ECW arena. I mean, ECW isn't even back in the ECW arena.
I think that's the title of this one. It's sadder in the ECW arena.
All right. My line was, I don't think people understand this election, which was Giuliani's statement. And I think he's right. I don't think he understands this election.
Right. Who else did we have at the ECW arena?
That's it. There's no one you've known.
Right.
It was a former Secret Service. Who? What?
Yeah. They were scraping the bottom of the barrel, but they did have good merch there. You came home with a bunch of stuff.
Okay. So they have branded merchandise to sell the candidate. There's little boxing gloves. There's a koozie. There's sunglasses. And honestly,
because she's shady, so you need sunglasses. Get it, guys?
The merch is actually kind of great.
Yeah.
The merch is great because regardless of how you feel about her, you could spin this in like a positive or a negative. My favorite is the box, like the handball stress relievers I got that are boxing gloves that say fighting for herself. Well, I understand how that could be negative. I understand how that could be positive. There's also enough, which is just a great word that means whatever you want it to mean. And then once hashtag shady. So now you've just put yourself into every M&M's fan's Twitter and Instagram feed. Hashtag shady.
Which is a winning strategy, I think.
What the? Oh, God.
They also have a spin the wheel where Hillary always wins.
So there were just like extra stuff around there for photo ops for like that's it.
Yeah.
It was a wheel, and it's on my Instagram feed at @SNYMT, and it's a wheel of Hillary winning.
But there are some other ones in there. I think it's just that she rigged it. Like, you can win maybe 1 out of 10 times on there.
No, it's... Oh, yeah, you win. That's right. I apologize. So you win one out of like... No, you win once. There's one you, and then Hillary wins every other time.
20-something. Yeah, which reminded me of the glorious Raw roulette era. 5 times that Monday Night Raw brought out the spin the wheel concept to make a bunch of gimmick matches. If it was male wrestlers, it would usually end up involving tables or chairs or ladders, and if it was or steel cages, and if it was women, it would involve bras and panties and pillow fights and paddling each other's asses. It was the dark days. It was the 2000s. The last one of that, appropriately enough, happened on the night that CM Punk did the pipe bomb, kind of closing that era of the WWE history. But yeah, they haven't brought that back, and maybe the RNC shouldn't have either.
I feel like this has to have been a wrestling trope, a lie detector test.
Oh, you know, there was one when Punk...
See, I don't need to fight or wrestle. We could do that anytime. See, I came to challenge you to come on the most must-see WWE talk show in history, Miz TV. And prove that you have nothing to hide. Prove that you are in no association with the Shield by taking a lie detector test. You want the truth? Fine, you little idiot. I'll take your stupid test. But after I do that, I will prove whether it's in the ring defending my title for the 379th day or taking your little test and just telling the truth that I am what I say I am, the best in the world. And then you and all these people in the world are just going to have to admit it.
That was another optic that you can take a photo of at
a lie detector test.
That's it. So
could you like strap in like at CVS and do your blood pressure?
Yeah, it was on Miz TV.
Okay,
CM Punk's lie. So yeah, this is an episode that just really relates to CM Punk.
I think everything does. CM Punk was right.
The event ended. No joke. The official event ended before you could talk to people. With a plug for T-shirts.
It's good. Got to buy some merch, man.
They fucking plugged merch.
They get it. And then that's why I am disappointed that not more of your colleagues in the legitimate press covered this amazing event.
I think I am the media, so it doesn't really matter.
You are the liberal media.
After this event and before primetime at the RNC, Donald Trump sent some things in the great state of Iowa.
I was going to hit a number of those speakers so hard, their heads would spin, they'd never recover. And that's what I did with a lot. That's why I still don't have certain people endorsing me. They still haven't recovered, okay?
It's great to know that even while one party is not trying to do wrestling or boxing tropes, the other party is in a boxing ring and their candidate is talking about hitting people legitimately, like not figuratively hitting people. Yep. Actually hitting
until
people.
Their head spins. I'm guessing that
it's not even a good promo.
It's not, because he's done better. But when you read the things, I think when he delivers them, it works in his cadence.
But when you read them, they're written
at like a second grade reading level. Like stuff on the website says, like, we're going to make America's army really strong, so no one will mess with us ever again. Like that's I'm paraphrasing, but that might even be wordier than what they have on the site. I'm guessing that little guy is Mike Bloomberg, because he's now nicknaming him on Twitter. This is this morning. Little Michael Bloomberg, who never had the guts to run for president, knows nothing about me. His last term as mayor was a disaster.
I'm glad that I know we're going to be able to talk about wrestling for the next few months in politics on one side. I just kind of wish it was both sides.
Right.
It's becoming clearer and clearer that we're talking about two very different races. And I think that President Obama was 100% right when he said that Donald Trump is not a Republican. He's definitely not a conservative. And I think that there are three parties right now. Mm-hmm. And if anything, what I went to yesterday highlighted that. I don't think the majority of Republicans would have been happy with this RNC at the DNC event. And I don't think the majority of Republicans are happy with what is going on for the most of their party. And it's interesting. And I don't think that there's going to be an official third party of, like, you know, the Romneys and the Bushes and right. Your more establishment people, maybe your Paul Ryans. But it would not surprise me if the majority of who we're seeing on stage right now are not visible in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how this makes any sense. I feel like right now they're in the midst of the ruthless aggression period, and I completely lost the map.
Yeah, and that could be this cycle. It could be a decade. I mean, it all depends on November. I mean, he's still... has, if you look at the forecast, and yeah, the forecasts haven't accounted for a bump that Hillary will get coming out of the convention. There's still a long time. As Nancy Pelosi has been saying, there's, you know, she didn't say October surprise, but there's always a game changer late in the campaign. But, you know, it's not, when you say Republicans, you know, I think you might be talking about, you know, people who are politically active or aware, might not be happy with this, but we're still looking at something, a candidate who's going to get at least 45% of the popular vote in the United States of America.
You think Donald Trump is going to get 45% of the popular vote?
At least.
I don't know about that. And also, we have to remember, for all of these stats right now, they're not state-by-state breakdown. And because we still have an electoral college, it doesn't really matter what
but I think 45 is definitely like the...
You think that's doable?
Yeah.
Being there and talking to so many people and watching so many speeches that weren't in the convention, the only real debate is how many seats do we pick up in the Senate? How many seats do we pick up in the House? Not if Hillary's going to win, which was very, very, very different than the RNC.
Right. And I'm glad they're feeling positive, but you got to get, you know.
So if anything, the DNC is current WWE, and they're like, you know what? We got this Cruiserweight Classic. We got to recognize other factions, and we got to work on the future. And the RNC is just like, hey, 2006 WWE is the best product ever. It's like, is it? Is it really? This is what we're doing? All right. All right. Here we go.